From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Time of the week.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Big Blue Roundtable, Tags and Prospects. What's going on, Chris? How you doing, sir?
Hey, man. I'm happy to be talking Giants. It's been a long, long time since we did that, man. And there's some things I even need to learn tonight from all our stakeholders, and you know, just have a little fun. We'll just chop it up for an hour and to get back into some old familiar ground. Pretty much. How you been? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good, you know.
I know, man.
We had a fun week talking sports over here.
Yes.
The hockey, fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The shows have been fantastic. The shows have been really, really good. For all you listeners, you get a chance, check out the Knickerbocker Ave show on Wednesdays. And I heard half of the Ranger Proud. I had to leave, but you know, again, interesting conversations, knowledgeable fans, good fun. If you're, if you're into the teams, man, I mean, you know, this is the place to be. So yeah, man, tune in. Nice to hear you, man. You sound like you're under weather a little bit, man. You all right?
No, I'm good. Just a little tired, dude. You know, just ripping and running,
I
man. But
feel.
Yeah, like to your point, and we'll get the guys on. We're going to talk some football. I don't want to keep the guys waiting because we got to get into this. But fantastic hockey episode, fantastic hoops episode, football.
Yep.
You know, the Giant fans this week was kind of interesting, Chris, and I'm going to get to that later because on Facebook, my timeline, and then also Facebook, the fan page, and then also on Instagram, the various answers of what people want from the Giants. When I asked them about a priority, number one priority, because we have a lot of issues, the range of different answers tells you kind of what the issues we have as a whole. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. We'll swing into it. And I advise everybody to check us out, man, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media, the Bleed Blue Show, at Bleed Blue Show, you'll find us. It's right there, man. So without further ado, man, who's in the house, Steve?
Just bring them on. Let's get this. See, Brian from the Big Blue Huddle, man. It's been a minute,
Big
man.
Big Blue
Huddle. You guys all over the place. It's all over the place talking sports. Big Blue Huddle, Brian. What's up, dude, man? Long time no hear, bro. How's everything?
Hey, man. Chris, how's everything with you, man?
Hey, man, everything is here. Everything is everything.
I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
I know, Steve,
but I haven't heard you, man.
I know, man. Probably because I quit drinking, man. but that's short-lived, man. That's short-lived because I'll be right back when the season starts, man. This team makes me do that.
I got you. It may give it up for Len or something. I don't know.
I did you. By you. I'll be back in my full form when the blue time comes. Thanks, Brian.
I got you.
We'll be right back.
Oh, all right.
I know this must be my man Carl right here.
Carl. Shout out to Carl.
Pleasant. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Brian. Hope you guys are doing okay as I'm surviving my first Texas winter, which has been interesting to say the least.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
that's what
right.
I need to know.
That's right.
Are you okay?
It's weird. You know, when a couple of days before it actually went down, we saw the temperatures, but there wasn't really anything on the news or anything to indicate what was going to happen. So there was really no way to prepare for it. But when stuff went down, I count my blessings. I was one of the lucky ones that didn't lose any power or any water. Other people in the in the complex I live at here had been without water for about, I think, like 4 or 5 days. I luckily, just by the grace of God, I guess you could say, just didn't have to, you know, go through any of that. And just a couple, like two days ago, it was 80 degrees out. So go figure.
Hey, my grandmother used to say, you walked through the raindrops is what you did. That's wow. Wow, Carl. Hey, man. Glad you're here. Glad to hear you. You know, I'm glad it worked out.
What is that? 90-degree swing? What is that? Like, it went from, 70-degree swing? It went
crazy.
From, 10 degrees to 80?
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, it was, I think on Monday, last Monday or Tuesday, it was like 7 degrees. And then on Sunday, when I went out to the store, it was 70. And 2 days ago, it was 81.
That's crazy.
And that's where people really get sick. So, yeah, I get you. I get you. Wow. Oh, man, Carl, man. Glad you're here, man. Stay there. Stay right there, my friend. We'll be right back. Wow. Carl's in the house, everybody. Isaac, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going?
Here we are.
This is my hero right here.
I got my blue shirt on.
Man, there's only one way to wear.
Hey,
you got to represent it.
Hey, look, we're going to have – I need –
Yeah, man, I can't wait to dig into this tonight. I got all fired up when I heard we're talking free agency, the draft, and all that good stuff tonight. You know, but
yes,
I'm glad to be here. You know, I was at the MetLife last night. You know, I was at MetLife yesterday, and just thinking about September yesterday when I was getting my COVID shot, I'm like, man, I can't wait to be back here tailgating with all my friends, man.
Oh, that's terrible. That means I have to be with you and drink or something. That's awful. That's god awful. All right, you twisted my arm. I'll be there. So will Steve.
Well, you know, it's going to be great. You know, 80,000 of our closest friends, man, cheering on the Big Blue.
Yes, and it starts tonight with that. I mean, look, this is what the show is about, Steve. We're talking about the franchise tags, traditional tags, areas of improvement. And the prospects, free agents, and so on and so on and so on. And that's why the big heads are here, you know, Brian, Carl, Isaac, and us. And let's swing into it, man. What do you think, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to remind everybody
man.
Else, check us out,
you know,
man, on all the social media. Good, sir. I'm sorry, Dad.
No. I'm glad you said that. No, that's cool. This really, for me, goes back to the day we traded for Leonard Williams a couple of seasons ago with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And this day is now here because now we have to find out or figure out a way to resign the guy. And we've had this soft analysis of Leonard Williams, a progress report of Leonard Williams throughout the, you know, post games. You know, every 3-4 weeks we'll probably say, hey, how Leonard Williams is doing such and such. And I remember many dogs would say a lot or a lot of us would, you know, we're okay with the play, but is okay with the play matched to the contract terms that he wants? Where did the Giants go with this, Chris? Because you haven't heard anything from the Big Blue as far as what they're going to do as far as years, salary, how much Leonard Williams is asking for. And then if you don't figure it out, you know, we've got to go through this franchise situation tag. You know how that works, where the position of the player, you got to pay him top five at that position. Do the Giants really want to fork out that money? You know, I haven't heard anything in particular, and I don't think nobody else has. And I think some Giant fans want to retain him, and then some others want to say, I don't know if we want to spend the money. Now, this is where guys like, you know, Brian, Carl, Isaac come in because they analyze and they watch Leonard Williams from a microscope the moment he's been traded. We said, you know, the first season coming on, he was, you know, had to get acclimated to the system. He was under, James Betcher at the time. And then coming on the next season, Patrick Graham, and he kind of, you know, did his thing.
He had arguably the best season of his career. Yes, I would too. And he's in it for the long haul.
But at what price?
This is why the fellas are here tonight to have this conversation because, look, okay, last year was a no-brainer. I mean, I'm sorry, 2019, we were like, okay, we're on a little bit of a fence here. You know, a lucrative investment would have been tough to make, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then here he comes, and he has, like, the best season of his career. He had 11.5 sacks, 30 quarterback hits. And that's probably this team's best defensive performance in years too, Steve. You know? So the Giants really need to make sure they handle these eventual contract negotiations really carefully, man, because if you indeed place what would be what, $19 million franchise tag on a 26-year-old, what scenarios play out from there? So let's go to the fellas for this one, man. You know, let's figure out where we're at, man. All right. For everybody, 929-477-4171, you listen to Bleed Blue Show. Tags and Prospects Show for the Big Blue Round Table. Brian, you know, you heard us. You heard what Steve said. Chime in, please.
Well, Chris, to me, the Giants' number one offseason move of importance is to re-sign Leonard Williams. The trade, mid-season trade 2 years ago made by Gettleman, I thought was very astute. The opportunity to land the number six overall pick in the draft from, I believe, 2017, and he had you know been up and down a little bit with the Jets, but the Jets had a lot of issues. They still have a lot of issues because they're the Jets. But I think it was Gettleman realized that in today's defenses, the most important player is no longer an edge rusher. It's not an inside linebacker. It's a three-tech defensive tackle. And you're looking for Aaron Donald or player of that caliber because of the way offenses are run, there's a very high premium of having a three-tech tackle who can move to the outside, move to the inside. He can two gap, one gap, but who is disruptive, can break up a play quickly, can get pressure on the quarterback. And after kind of a spotty start for the half of the season in 2019 and 2020, he really shined and became the player that everybody thought he was going to be when he came out of college. So to me, that's the most important thing for the Giants to do is to ink him. Their best unit on the team was the defense. The best unit on the defense was the defensive line. And the best subunit on the defense was the interior of the defensive line, and Leonard Williams was far and away their best player on defense, and the other tackles were too shabby either. So to me, that's the number one thing. It's a no-brainer. They could probably get him on like a 4 to 5 year contract, about $19 million a year, which is really not a lot for a player of that ability, and would anchor the defense for years to come. Patrick Graham such a good defensive coordinator, so I don't see a slack off on Leonard Williams. And to me, like I said, that's the number one off-season move is to get him under contract.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Wow. Okay. That's a thumbs up from Brian right there. that's so far so good. I'm waiting for some boom to lower. I don't know if it's going to or not, but okay. Let's see what Carl has to say. Go ahead, big bro. What you got?
So we've been debating this Leonard Williams thing for, 16 months now, basically?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He was traded, November 2019?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure I have this correct. So the whole impetus of trading for him was that it was thought that this was a player that was going to be a vital part of the future, thus he was worth acquiring for two draft picks. They didn't know if they wanted to pay him last year. So they gave him $16 million, basically. And if they don't know if they want to sign him again, that means that they would have paid him $35 million to not know if they want to sign him long-term. Does that make sense to anybody?
That's pretty much the gist of it.
A good point.
seriously, like, that would be epic mismanagement right there. Especially on a team that, since he's been acquired, has not done anything. So you're paying a guy top dollar if you decide to not go down this contract road again and just slap another franchise tag on him. You would be paying him top dollar. The results you're getting are not exactly what, you know, I'm not totally sure what they're expecting to get in return. And for what? Nothing. So, but if you let him go, that's a problem too, because you're not going to find really a replacement for him on the open market anywhere. And so the comparative contracts that exist for this player are Chris Jones, 4 years, $85 million, with I think it was $45 million guaranteed. Someone can check that. And DeForest Buckner, which was 4 years, $84 million, with about $44 guaranteed. That's kind of the number that he's looking at. And there are enough teams currently that have cap room to make that deal happen. So if you're not sure that you really want to sign this player, what is the pushback on this? My only guess on this is that they are of the belief that the same pressure rates, the hits, the hurries, the quarterback sacks, in terms of if you just total all that up, if you total up the number that he had this past season and you total up the number that he had last season, I believe it comes up very close to about the same. The only difference is that he actually sacked the quarterback this time as opposed to the previous year. So, and I've been of the belief for the longest time that sacks are sort of like a irrelevant statistic. He didn't somehow figure out a way to touch the quarterback and bring him to the ground this time as opposed to last time. Like, I just, you know, that number can fluctuate from season to season. So if they are thinking that they are going to try to use basically last year's numbers as a justification for holding his salary down below the guys that are highly paid, the ones that just got re-signed, and Williams is basically saying, listen, this is the best year of my career because my quote-unquote sack numbers were improved, well, then the Giants either better pony up or this whole last 16 month was just a charade. Those are the only options. If someone can name me a third option, I'd love to hear it. But what would be the point of letting him go now?
Okay,
I don't understand it.
There wouldn't be. Let Isaac go chime in first, and then I want Steve to do his thing and whatever. All right, Isaac, those are good points that Carl just brought up. What's your take?
Well, you know, you look at the history of the Giants, you with the tag from Jumbo Elliott, the Banks, the Cross, the Williams, the Hampton, the Jacobs, and then JPP twice. You know, a lot of times this tag didn't work out for the Giants, right? I mean, you know, the JPP the first time, it worked out. The second time, it didn't work out. You know, Williamson and Tomlinson, it blew up big time. And then, you know, the first time we used it on Jumbo Elliott, he got hurt. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. You know, you got Tomlinson and you got Williamson. Now, being at the games, watching the games in person, and seeing the two different players interact with the team, you know, Williamson has more upside in the sense that he's leading that defense in the bench talk, talking about different coverages he's seeing with the tackles or guards or whoever's coming out to block him, the double teams. And was Tomlinson the benefit of Williamson? So that's a question needs answered. And then also, you know, what are we going to do to replace either one of those two? I mean, I think it's probably easier to replace Tomlinson inside. Anyway, he was very productive. You know, you hope Hill and some of the other guys are ready to step up and take that next step. But to lose Williamson, who could play inside and outside, I mean, I don't like the idea of losing that. Anyway, it might cost you 20 minutes. Maybe we could do a creative contract with some cryptocurrency like they did with that Panthers guy, the tackle, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see what happens. But, you know, after giving up the draft capital, you got to sign him. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind you can't let him walk out of your building. I mean, it's easier to let Tomlinson go than it is Williamson at this point.
Wow, you gave me something to think about. You know, let me ask you something before we get to Steve. Nah, it wouldn't be. You know what I just for a second, because of what Colin earlier mentioned, just for a second, I was just thinking, and this is silly now to think about it, that after they tagged him, if another team offered a deal, the Giants would possess the ability to match it, but if Williams accepted the other team's offer, then the Giants would be awarded with two first-round draft choices, but I don't think Williams is good enough for any team. I mean, not, I don't, I'm, I'm a little bit, you know, misty on the good enough part, but I don't. I just hard. It's tough to imagine many teams giving up two first rounders for him. So that was just a thought, just went through my head, and you know, just a brain fart. I don't know. It's all a mystery. That's why we're having this show. Steve, what's going on, man? What's your take on all this, Ogoro?
Because Carl and Isaac kind of reiterated what we've said since we talked about it.
Yeah.
When the transaction happened at the time. This day is here, or this time period is here, that the Giants still haven't figured it out. And this is what you worry for, because you're wasting draft capital for a guy you're not even have a secure future with. So what are you telling your fans
right.
when you're making a deal for first rounders and you're not getting you're saying it's almost like a proverbial middle finger. We're going to wait
yeah.
out. We're going to play chicken or play hardball
yep.
with a dude who actually had a good season. No, you have to figure out to resign the guy you gave him your draft capital to. Like, there's no like Carl said, what the hell is the alternative? There is no alternative. You signed the guy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live with it. I'd rather sign Leonard Williams, and if he happens to, you know, there's always that fear with management that the guy, if you sign him, you know, he may take some years off. He'll not be as hungry on the field. We've seen these things happen, but in a situation like this, Chris and guys, I just like Brian, you know, Leonard Williams, the Giants, we have issues, but it would be even a bigger issue. To what Carl said, there's not guys out there to replace him, and you know what you got out of him out of at least one full year with a competent defensive
yeah.
coordinator in Patrick Graham. And then you keep intact each level of the field. For instance, you got your corners on the outside, like Bradbury, who had a fantastic year. And you know, Leonard Williams, what a weak lineup, in my opinion. The defensive line for the Giants was weak, but he was the strong point of that, the stronger of the weak area of the defense. And then, you know, the middle, you know, the linebackers was weak too, but, you know, Blake Martinez, called for what it's worth. They helped kind of stay in a lot of the games. He was a tackling machine. He, you know, I say all this to say, bringing back all these guys, you have somebody at every level. And we talk about the safeties, you get McKinney back for a full year, right? Jabril Peppers
right.
out there.
Yep.
You could build off, you could continue to build off where you are probably strongest on your team. The offense needs a whole lot of help. We understand that. But you are going to get significantly weaker if you don't find a way to get this guy back at a good value rate. And it really irks
yeah.
me that we're having this conversation because we've seen this shit coming. We said at the time, you better
yes,
give him an extension
yes,
or sign him long term.
Yep.
And this day is
yep.
here, and this is really not good. And to the point of what Isaac said, we've had bad, and that's another thing. A franchise,
mm-hmm.
this
that's right,
man, had these bad runs with, you know, franchise tags with past Giant, even homegrown Giant players on top of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions. For the Big Blue. This is more of a Big Blue. This is not really Leonard Williams' issue. I think this is more definitely the Giants, man, for sure.
Definitely, but don't be surprised if they that's the move they're going. Unless an extension is agreed to before March the 9th, which is around the corner, a couple of Mondays from now, I see the tag. And the way the Giants moved, to Isaac's point, he got me thinking. They can probably do, you know what? Don't be surprised if Gettleman tries another year on a tag. He did that to somebody in Carolina. If this does, after this year is over, he does things like that way. So we'll figure. You know what? Hey, look, Steve, it's a Big Blue issue. I don't know.
Can I ask you this before we get to Brian?
Yes.
Can I ask you something? What do you think that would that
yeah.
if that was the case that the Giants did that? If they put a tag on Leonard Williams, right? Again, right? What would go
right.
through Leonard Williams' head as far as it would, you know, if you're seeking a long-term contract, well, how would that, would you think that would affect his psyche? Well, I don't really honestly don't know who, you know, how what gets him going. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, what's your thoughts on
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm getting, Steve.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
I'm sorry.
Good, Carl. I thought you were talking to both of them. Good. No, do your thing.
Yeah, I thought you asked me, Steve. That's why I answered. What I'm getting is that the Giants are having productive talks with Leonard Williams. There's a possibility that if he's unsigned, you know, by the free agency, they'll tag him just to keep him around and sign him. But the talk is they're much closer to a contract this year than they were last year, that he's happy playing here. He's going to get a good contract. He deserves it. You know, he's a Fletcher Cox type player right now. He had one of those seasons. You don't want to let guys like that go. So I think that there's probably a chance it'll get tagged, but that's only just to keep him around so they can finalize the deal. I expect the deal to happen relatively soon, coming up, maybe within the next month or so.
All right. Continue, Steve. I thought, did you have another question for anyone? Or?
Oh no, we could go back to Brian, man. We could get to this. I'll put it like this, and we could let Brian go. I think Brian saw one of the posts. I had several of just soft polling different Giant fans from different platforms, whether it was Instagram, the Bleed Blue Show page, or even my own timeline. As far as what were the, like, you had to name one priority. This goes back to this episode, tags and prospects, right? You know, you can look at the guys in college and who you think will be a good fit to what we're building with the Giants. But if you had to pick number one priority, because the Giants have many issues. Let me go back. Let me have to write it down. I have written it down. Instagram was really interesting. Instagram had the most votes were for the tight end. Then outside of that was quarterback, interior lineman, and then wide receiver. But then when I went to the Facebook on the Bleed Blue Show page, it was kind of like in the middle when it came to tight end, wide receiver, lineman. But then then the timeline was almost the flip opposite. You got tight end. Shout outs to Juju from the Frontliners, top right receiver. Of course, Brian shouted out. You know, Brian said Leonard Williams. You had all offensive linemen. You had number one wide receiver, number one wide receiver. The wide receivers dominated Facebook. So basically, in a nutshell, because this shit was all over the place. So we're going to go back to Brian. Get your thoughts as far as Giants' number one priority, prospects you want to talk about, free agents you want to talk about, college guys, so on and so forth. We'll go to Carl after that. We'll go to Isaac. Chris, get your thoughts. Yeah. Then myself.
Brian. I already said on my open that the number one priority is re-signing Leonard Williams. But moving on from that, the number one need after that is a wide receiver, and that should be in the draft. There's three outstanding wide receivers in the draft. I'm an Alabama guy, so Devontae Smith would be my guy. Waddle's terrific, but he's a littler guy, whereas Devontae Smith is a bigger, stronger guy. Garrett likes guys like that. And then the present wide receiver core is, you know, to the smaller side. So I think it's a great draft. You'll be able to, you know, get a pitch that you can hit at number 11. And I think Smith will be there at 11. And I see him sitting around 9, 10, 11 or thereabouts, you know, most of the mock drafts. But, you know, that always gets screwed up. Sooner, if people trade up because they want quarterbacks. The top 10 only has two defensive players in most mocks, and that's ridiculous. So there'll be more than that. So I think that wide receiver, it can be addressed at the draft. It would change the whole dynamic of the offense. So that's my priority going in. After that, we can address a few other needs. Need some depth on the offensive line. We've got our quarterback, folks. People can talk about it, but we've got the guy, and he's going to be here for, you know, at least even if he lays it out, he's going to be here for the next couple of years. But I don't see that happening. I like what I've seen out of him. He's been spotty. On defense, we need an edge rusher, but, you know, to me, the most important thing is to upgrade an offense that really sputtered to score points, and the best way to do that is drafting a wide receiver.
Brian, is a good choice there. Carl, you're up, man. What do you see happening? Or what would you prefer to happen, I should say?
Well, there's two ways I'm thinking about this, right? I was looking at the end of the season a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, right? to see how the teams that made the playoffs the last 5 years and see how they ranked in offense and see where that correlated to playoff making. And I think the number was like 84%, I think it was. The teams that finished in the top 5 or 10 in offense, I think it was, between 1 and 10, you had about an 84% chance of making the playoffs. So that and the points average somewhere around 25 to 30. I think this year there were like three teams that made the championship game. They're all average 30 points a game. So scoring is the number one priority. Unfortunately, I don't come to the same conclusion on the quarterback. So that's part of the issue that I don't think can be corrected with just the wide receiver. I'm not of the mindset that a wide receiver makes the quarterback better. If you notice, Stephon Diggs, when he was traded last year, if you take a look at his numbers before he was traded, they were nothing like the numbers that he had in 2020. So the correlation I'm making is that Stephon Diggs did not make Josh Allen, as the perception has been out there. More likely it was the other way around and the system that was developed to make sure that that happened. But be that as it may, if I was to pick one part of the team that I would improve, it would be the second corner position. I don't think the Giants can go 16 games again with that position basically a black hole. Now, they can cover around it as they did for a period of time last season, but what happened was it got to a point right around the, I'd say about in the late November, right around the time they started losing, where teams really started kind of figure that out. And I don't think you can go a whole offseason without teams not figuring that out again and trying to run the same playback. So I think that's the issue. We've already talked about the defensive line issue. I would still prefer a second edge rusher as well. I think the way games are won are you close games out by sacking and pressuring the quarterback. And I think that is something that has to be figured out on this team to get, you know, where they need to go, on top of the fact that they need to basically improve their offense by about 9 to 10 points a game.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a follow-up question, Nicole, before we go to Isaac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicole, we had a lot of off-season talk, not our team, but teams around the league, everybody shuffling their quarterbacks. And I agree with Brian. I don't think that Daniel Jones is going anywhere, but I don't think he's untradeable either. Is it just because I don't think teams want, or there's just not a huge fan of Daniel Jones? I mean, you have all these other quarterbacks who've gotten relatively success in this league, and they're on the trading block, or, you know, you hear talk about trading block, your Garoppolo's, Deshaun Watson's and all that. Is it for the fact that no team probably interested in the Daniel Jones because lack of success, and we're just kind of stuck with it? Well, how do you look at that, Carl? And then we could go to Isaac.
I think if you just put him on the market, I don't think the return you would probably get might be the same as what the Eagles got for Carson Wentz. I don't think you'd get a first-round draft pick for him. You might get a second-round pick. You might get two not first-round draft picks for him. You could probably get that if you just put him on the open market and just open it up to the highest bidder. I don't think the Giants obviously would do that. But I do believe that this idea that has kind of either been poo-pooed or whatnot about Deshaun Watson and the alleged capital that it would take to acquire him, I don't think that's really all that much to ask for, or would be all that much to surrender for a player of his age, his ability, and the long-range planning that if you just sort of think about the landscape of the NFC over the next, let's just say, 5 years, with all the Hall of Famers that will be retiring or not on the teams any longer, that if you're just making a long-range stock bet, the real play actually should be that. But unfortunately, the Giants are not aggressive or progressive enough in their thinking to make that particular move happen, because not only would they not do it, but I don't think that they would wait the Texans out in a game of chicken, as I think is going to happen by the time that the Texans realize that they really do have to trade him.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Isaac, give us your take, please.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, as you break it down and, you know, you listen to Carl and everybody talk, I mean, where do you start? You know, tight end, I don't think is as big of an issue as everybody makes it out to be. You know, Ingram, yes, he's had the drops and all that stuff, and he's been the butt of most jokes all year. Yes, pretty much. But, well, contract year, right? Contract year. He wants to stay in the league.
Philadelphia, man. Philadelphia.
You can't say that
well,
name just anymore.
I know. But the thing I'm looking at as a positive side, it's a contract year. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the sound effect.
Right. Go ahead.
But you know what? How many players have actually stepped up in contract years and produced? And you got to hope he finds a jug machine and some stick'em, and hopefully actually lives up the potential, even if he's only with us for this year. Or even if he gives us six good games and we could trade his ass out of here at the halfway point for something else. You know, Hunter Henry, that's a guy I would like to see picked up. You know, so, and also maybe even the tight end from Green Bay, Tanya, who's a free agent.
Tanya. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's another option to look at. You know, there's so many different ways to go and attack this tight end spot. And I hate spending a first-round pick on receiver, especially how many of them don't pan out. Now, the way I would attack that is I would go get Samuel from Carolina. He actually fits in what we want to do. He's a versatile. You could stick him in the backfield. You could stick him in the slot. You could stick him outside. And he's a game changer. He's a nice piece of the pawn. You know, you put him with Shepard, and I think that would be an interesting combo there. And then you look at another person in the draft. Nobody's talking about. Everybody's talking about, you know, the big guys. You got the kid from USC. Why can't I think of his name right now? Brown. You know, he's not the flashy player that all these other guys are. He's probably a second-round pick, but he's been productive. He's, you know, I think his sophomore year he had, what, 750 yards, almost 1,000 his junior. And this year they only played three games and had over 300 yards receiving. You know, I like him better than Pittman, who got drafted by the Colts this year.
Yeah,
so that's an option there. And, you know, I don't know if you watched USC football, but, you know, he always flashed in the games as somebody who was always making plays and getting open for the quarterback. You know, he has good speed. I mean, he's a 4.5 guy. So, I mean, that's definitely one way. And then the other thing is, you know, you got to address the edge part. And if I'm going to spend big money in free agency, it's Judon from the Ravens. You know, this kid is – he kind of reminds me of Blake Martinez, getting out there, making tackles, creating a pass rush. And he's a difference maker. You know, and he also adds leadership. You know, I'm more likely to draft a defensive end in, like, Gregory from Miami, because there's not many good pass-rushing defensive ends in this draft. You have two who I draft high. One is Gregory, and the other kid is from Penn State, the linebacker, who opted out.
Michael Parsons.
Yes, Parsons, yep. I mean, you know, that kid's a tackling machine. You put him with Blake Martinez, and you can also line him up at the end. I mean, you know what? That gives us some hope there. So that's where I'm at, you know. But, you know, I heard you talking about the quarterback. Nobody knows. I mean, you know, it's hard to evaluate anybody. One, an off season, which was Zoom, you didn't really have practices. So this year was a wash. I really don't know what to make of this year. You know, you had Tate and suspended and not that hurt. You had Shepard who was hurt. And, I mean, it's hard to evaluate the quarterback. I mean, it's a make-or-break year. I mean, I definitely bring somebody in here to compete. Like, I don't mind going out Mariota from the Raiders to come in here and actually push him.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know,
so that's where I'm at.
This is. I got you, Isaac. You know what? This has been the most wide open number 11 we've been in a while, because it can go anywhere. The big talk of the town right now is Kyle Pitts. You know, we Michael Parsons. If any one of those two cornerbacks, top two cornerbacks, or the two wide receivers from Alabama are there, they're going to get snatched up. It's hard to call this. It's really, really tough. But if I had a preference, then you actually spoiled my thunder, Isaac, because I'm looking at Michael Parsons and what he brings to the table. You know, besides his obvious gifts, he's got that leadership Luke Kuechly thing about him that this team sorely needs on defense. That loud mouth, that guy who pushes you, you know. And we have, which brings me to another thought real quick. I don't know what's going on with Jabril Peppers' contract, because he's entering 2021 in his fifth-year option, okay? And he expects to, I guess, account about $6 million against the salary cap. I think we need to resign our de facto defensive leader as well, okay? Because if we extend him, we save another $4 million in salary cap space. So that's something also to think about. So we've got a whole myriad of issues that are going on before March 9th. And so our needs are many, but we don't have the luxury of having all of these draft picks and having that Miami issue where they've got a whole lot of things and a whole lot of picks and a whole lot of money and all these different options and all these teams on the phone with them. So I don't know. We'll have to leave the quarterback situation alone. I guess I have to live with Daniel Jones. You know how hard that is for me. Yeah, they're in love with him, but he's not going anywhere. And we're not. And I want the dreamers to stop too. We're not going to get Watson. Okay, let's just cut the nonsense and just look at the hand. If we were playing poker, we are stuck with a 3, a 4, and a queen. That's it. It's on you, Steve.
Well, I mean, you already know how I feel about the Deshaun Watson thing, man. Like I said at the time when he was coming out of Clemson,
yeah.
The Giants at that draft should have went up and got him at the time. So
yes!
Now it's gonna cost to go get him more. So that shit kind of got the damn sales, if you ask me. You know, like you had your chance to go up and get him, and you did it. So hey, now you want him now after you've seen the phenomenal seasons. You can forget about that. And like Carl said, this. I don't think this management is that progressive enough to pull that kind of car. You just don't see that out of the Giants. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see that. And to go back to Carl's point, and I agree. Here's the twofold part of Carl's point. I actually agree with him, but this is the issue I see what makes all the case for retaining Leonard Williams. I agree. I am all for a second edge rusher, 3-4 edge rusher. Problem is, I think Isaac said, I'm not in love with these dudes. Coming out of college, you guys might see the combine, or you may see some tapes. You know, this college football season, all you guys already know it was weird, because I think for the most part we all watched mostly SEC football, because that was the primary that in the Big 12, because those are the conferences that were going in the Big 10. It finally got together like they should have been, like everybody else, and figured it out, like how the SEC and Big 12 is. I don't want to get down that road. But, you know, Quiddy Payne from Michigan, he's okay. You know, I watch Big 10 football.
Yeah.
Isaac, you already know Big 10 football. The Miami had some guys that were probably would have been fitting as far as their as rushers. But then, you know, you had Rose sit out. You know what I'm saying? Jaylene Phillips didn't, you know, play. So I say all this to say, as far as edge rushers, they don't have the tape, in my opinion, to really bank on draft them up early, unless they fall in the draft because, you know, them sitting out. And then you could attack going after a second edge rusher in that aspect. I don't know if I would want to go high with an edge rusher in this draft. I just don't see it. That's why it is important to go for Leonard Williams now. That's how I look at it. Somebody mentioned Pitts. You know, we know Pitts is. You know, he's a stud. You know, you watch all this Florida football, man. You even had Billy Bob. I think Billy Bob called into one of the shows during the season. You see Pitts from Florida. Remember that? I don't know if you guys remember that episode. He was raving about.
Yeah,
Florida.
I do.
Oh, he's the truth. I think it was twofold because when Pitts was balling at Florida, you know, Evan Engel was dropping fucking passes at the link, you know. I started to see tight ends more clear, you know. The tight ends you started to see a little bit more clear in Pitts, but I don't think the Giants are gonna go that route. You could get, like Isaac said, you could get probably a good quality tight end later in the draft. You just want some solid football, so going to block and get after the quarterback. And I'm all for a second edge rusher. Chris, to your other point, we'll go back to Brian, probably get some extended final thoughts. As far as wide receiver, I think that is very apparent. We need a number one. I mean, I don't think we played with a number one receiver, a true wide receiver.
Absolutely.
I don't even count Golden Tate as a number one wide receiver. He, on the depth chart, he is. I'm talking about you're the go-to guy. Like, we didn't have
that
at all last year. That is
no doubt, dude.
I don't know but the thing is, I don't know the answer. I don't, for instance, you know.
I don't either.
A lot of the guys you saw play early on was from, like I said, from the SEC, whether it was from LSU to, like, what Brian said was from Alabama. You know, Smith getting the Heisman. But we need a big number one target. I don't know. We might have to, I don't know, free agency may be the answer or something. But Tate, two seasons has just been, you know, we talked about it. You downgraded, we traded from Odell Beckham Jr., you got Jabril Peppers, and you have Golden Tate signed. That just has not worked out. Let's just be real. The suspensions have killed us. First of all, you need to be available, Chris. He needs to be available. He's not even available at the start of the season.
You do. And he's going to count about $10 million against our cap, so they got to get rid of him. They really do. Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
But let's do some extended final thoughts real quick. Extended final thoughts. Yeah, let's do that. Brian, Big Blue Huddle, give us a nice extended final thought, sir.
Well, first of all, we haven't even brought it up. We've been talking about the offense, but assuming he's healthy, you could have had Saquon Barkley back. And
ouch, yeah.
I mean – I mean, I like Wayne Gallman. I wanted the Giants to draft him as a mid-round pick when they did, and they did. But he's not Saquon Barkley. And one thing that happened with the Giants line, and I thought it was spotty here and there, but if you just go with the smell test, I thought that they developed an attitude, especially as a run-blocking offensive line last year. And if they block next year with Barkley like they did for Gallman this year, that's really going to open up the Giants' run game, which will open up their pass game. If they go out and they do what I think they're going to do, and that's certainly, you know, it's pretty obvious what I hope that they do, and, you know, draft a top wide receiver, again, Devontae Smith would be my preference, but if they do that, I think that the offense can improve quite a bit. And, as, you know, Carl says, you know, improve the scoring offense, you know, another, you know, 8-9 points. I could see that happening. Defensively, it's imperative that they maintain what they can. Leonard Williams, number one. Hopefully Tomlinson, but that would be really tough. Bring back Kyler Fackrell, by the way, who I think is a very versatile backup linebacker, not just an edge guy. And also remember, it's been mentioned, on the edge, O'Shane Zimenez and Carter both were hurt for most of the year. So what are you expecting out of them? You know, can they help it out? You know, the Giants had 40 sacks last year. It was 12th in the league. One more would have put them in the top 10. So it's not like they didn't get pressure at all. So I think the Giants were a better team last year and could move into the area where they could compete to make playoffs.
All right. That's Brian, Big Blue Huddle. Gotcha, sir. Appreciate you.
Big Blue Huddle,
really do. Hey, Blue Huddle, absolutely. Carl! Final thoughts, sir.
All right. You know, you guys were just talking about the wide receiver situation. You know, the one thing – that college has been able to produce over the last, let's say, 3-4 years
right.
now. Maybe you can probably go further than that, but it's really kind of expanded in the last, that's it, those like three years has been the amount of wide receiver, the amount of quality wide receivers that have come into the league, where you don't have to spend the first round draft pick in the top 10 to get a high quality wide receiver. I'm just thinking of three guys off the top of my head: AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. There's probably another two or three that we could probably think about that have come into the league just recently and become very big producers. That is a position these days where there is an abundance because teams pass the ball more in college than they ever have before. So I think if you're really doing good scouting, you should be able to find high-quality wide receivers not in the top 10 in the draft. So if you're the Giants, there is no reason why you have to invest that high in that particular for that particular point. I don't think that the difference between, let's just say, a receiver in the top 10 that's probably going to be selected, you know, the guys like Chase, I think, and Waddle, and whoever's going to be taking the second round, I don't think there's going to be a substantial gap between those players. As we've seen in the league, I mean, the amount of guys putting up big numbers, you know, is there a difference?
Hello, I don't know what is going on. Let's see. I don't know. We have connection issues. Hold on. Let's check. All right, Chris, you back with us? Let's hope Carl calls back. Isaac, you still there?
Okay. Isaac there?
I'm
here.
Go ahead, Carl. I don't know. We have a connection issue. I don't know what the hell is going on. Chris is dropping. We all dropping.
Oh,
like
okay.
That. I don't know. Carl, go ahead.
No worries. I don't know where it got dropped off at, but I was basically making a point in terms of saying, hey, the gap between the best wide receivers in the game now and guys that get taken a little bit lower in the draft is not that great. So why invest that high in the draft? I don't know if it was Chris or Steve mentioned it earlier, talking about the investment part of that. So I think when we're looking at improving the team from that particular position, I see no reason to spend $20 million bucks on one of these wide receivers that are free agents. There's no point in that. I don't see why you would do that. I would explore trading for Michael Thomas, though, because the Saints are about $90 million over the cap. I would look at that and see if that's something that you might want to make an investment in and see if you can extract, just like how Arizona extracted DeAndre Hopkins from Houston, how Buffalo decided to invest in Stephon Diggs. You may want to think out of the box and try to find teams that might be desperate to get rid of a certain player and try to make sure you make your move that way, as opposed to just going out in free agency and just throwing a bunch of money at somebody. That might be a way to go as well.
All right, Carl. Got you, homie. Brian.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, sorry. The other way. Isaac.
All right.
You there, guys?
Yes,
sir.
All right. I mean, yeah, I do like that Michael Thomas idea. I mean, I thought about that weeks ago, but then, you know, you look at what you're going to have to give up to get him, it ain't worth it. I mean, you're probably giving up two number ones at least to go get him. You know, the Saints are just not going to give him away. I mean, he's the best offensive weapon they have besides Kamara. But talking about running backs, you know, you got Barkley, probably not worth extending. You know, injuries, and, you know, he's not the type of running back that New York's used to, you know, like the Bradshaws, the Jacobs, you know, even Tiki, you know, that type of back, you know, real tough yards in between the tackles and, you know, this finesse shit, you know, can't stand. You know, we got a lot of running backs in this draft. You know, you got Williams, you got Michael Carter from North Carolina. You got the Oklahoma, what's his name, Ramid Stevenson. You got a lot of running backs in this draft that you could start to think about replacing, you know, Barkley either by trade or whatever happens. Because you can't pay a running back $13, $15 million. Look how it worked out for, you know, Carolina paying McCaffrey. It didn't work out for him. And who knows if it ever will. You know, I just hate paying a running back that type of money, especially how physical that position is. Talking about our free agent Gallman, I mean, you know what? I'd like to replace him. I'd like to go with Williams from Green Bay. You know, Williams is a better version of what we want from the running back position. You know, he's a three-down back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He'll give you those tough yards. And you know what? He doesn't have a lot of tread on those tires yet. So that's definitely something I'm exploring at this point. And as free agency with the receivers, I mean, there's only one receiver I'm going to go spend money if I'm spending it, and it's Godwin from Tampa. There's a good chance that they let him walk away just because they have so much talent there. I'm not spending money. I've been hearing a lot of rumors about the Giants and Juju Smith. That's a nightmare waiting to happen. You bring him here with all his TikTok crap, and he has a bad game. We're going to light him up like a Christmas tree here.
Yeah, we sure will.
You ain't lying.
So, I mean, we got a lot of things to think about in the upcoming weeks, and it starts with just working contracts. Like you said, you know, we got Peppers, and we definitely got to re-sign him, but at what cost there, too. I mean, if we can push it back a couple of years, I mean, because you look down the road again, we got another big contract in Daniel Jones. What are we going to do there? So all these pieces of the puzzle got to be solved within the next couple of weeks here, and it starts with Leonard Williams.
Well, I just want to say real quickly, I got to go against you there, Isaac. I think that Saquon Barkley walking around the kind of shape he's in right now is ready. And since our offensive line is improving, we need to try that one more time, one more year, give it another shot, because this was a guy who, when we drafted him, was generational. Speaking of generational, Carl, I got to disagree with you slightly about the wide receiver situation, because Devonta Smith is generational from Alabama. Even though he could take a shower under an eye drop, the dude needs to eat some cereal. But other than that, I think truth be told, I think he's got all the – that's what you want out of a number one receiver. But having said all of that stuff, it comes down to being as creative as your general manager will allow you to be. And I'm going to stay there, because I'm not going to feel like beating up on him tonight. But that's where I'm at with those, okay? Because at the end of the day, you know, you look at, like, say, the Super Bowl, and you see what happened in that situation. You say to yourself, Patrick Mahomes, like I said to myself, Patrick Mahomes will be here for 1,000 years, lighting up the entire world. And then he went out there and lost to that old man, and it brought him down to earth to me. And I said to myself, you know what? Anything is possible. Everybody's fallible. But at least if you're generational, you need to be given a chance to hit that stage. And that's what he did. Okay, Steve, the show is yours. And then I'll go do my little spiel.
Yeah, no, I don't really have nothing else to add. Shout-outs to Brian from the Big Blue Huddle, man. GiantsFans.net, man. Message Boys talking football for the Big Blue. And of course, shout-outs to Carl, and shout-outs to Isaac and Chris, myself. I shouldn't have asked this question, but we're out of time. But more about the Giants. Do you have faith in the Giants scouting in a year where we're probably not going to have the combine, as far as figuring out who we need to analyze, because you couldn't really get around back in the summer, late summer, because there was really not many games unless it was the SEC. So there's a lot of questions as far as.
Damn. Now I'm dropping.
I can hear you.
You hear me? What the hell is going on?
Okay. Yeah, he got cut off there.
Steve must have dropped. Okay, anybody else can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
this is Isaac. I hear you.
Okay. Well, listen, let me just say this, because we're almost out of time anyway. Isaac, thank you. You need to show up every show, bro. You need to show up every show.
They
man.
Got me too, man.
Here.
They got me too.
We need you here.
They got me too, man.
Oh, God. Okay, they got you too. Carl, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
you,
I'm done, man. I'm
talking to you.
My number one question.
Big Blue Huddle, thank you so much. Yes, and I think we're running out of time. Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Like everything on social media, our Facebook page. Check out the video episodes and the whole thing. Sangre Azul. Listen to the rest of the show. And, hey, bleed blue, y'all.
Bleed blue.
Can you dig right. it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.